from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now for our Manager's Report. Our Manager's Report each week with Mike Schild is brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. And joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida, I'd imagine, is the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schild. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon now here.
Oh, no, that's right.
As you said, rightly, in St. Pete. And hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, St. Pete, where you're going to play inside, I mean, I don't love inside baseball. It's not real baseball, but I've got to imagine after those last 4 days, it's probably a welcome change. It looked awfully hot and miserable there in St. Louis, and I'm not saying that's an excuse or anything. It's certainly not both teams playing it, but it just didn't look like it was fun for either team necessarily.
It was steamy. It was St. Louis at its finest. I mean, there's a lot of good things there. It's a beautiful stadium and great place to play. Typically that time of year there, it can start to cool down, but the heat waves tried to stayed with us, and it was 4 days of sweltering heat for sure.
We learned about corn sweat this week, Schulte. somebody told us that the corn sweats and it makes it even hotter in St. Louis, and I just think about Dylan Cease, and I'm like, man, he has got to have sweated through at least two jerseys. What it just zaps you. I mean, you spent a ton of time there, and are you ever really prepared to play in it if you don't play in it regularly?
It's definitely acquired. These are professional athletes that condition themselves for those type of environments. We do take care of them, prior to the game. Our medical staff and our strength and conditioning staff are really phenomenal. How they operate and how they keep guys on the field, how they train for the guys, the players get all the credit, but in my time there, you actually got to normalize it. It did become a competitive advantage. Yachty, he'd play every day. He'd have probably caught this time of year all four games. And he'd gone out and taken ground balls before the game. And he did that. He'd do that, because he loved baseball. That's part of it. He just loved baseball. He loved playing. But he also, there was a mental game with that he was playing, not only with the opposing team, because you looked up and this guy's catching every single inning, day game, night game, and getting after it. And then you see him take ground balls for the game in it, and it's like, and you're a visiting team, it's like, it was intentful to A, enjoyed it, B, to demoralize the other team, and C, to show his own teammates, like, nah, man, we're not giving into this environment. Like, I'm out there catching every night. I'm still going to get my ground balls and come play the game. And so it had a lot of residual effect.
I'm going to start coming in 2 hours early and just broadcast to myself just to freak everybody else out, just to give a little bit of extra effort. I had no idea about that story, and I think that's riveting stuff.
Yeah.
So that's
a separator.
I know I heard you before the series, and you said kind of downplayed the return to St. Louis. Not about you. It's about a team. You got the Padres to worry about. But how How did it go for you? Were there any like surprise reunions? Anything that notable did happen in your return to St. Louis?
You know, it was great because, you know, you leave there and you I didn't get any closure, and it's not about me, and you know, never will be. But to answer the question, you know, like, and share more than maybe you want, like, personally, it was that was a hard way to leave.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, I had been back to St. Louis for a couple of Albert's events in the off seasons that I've historically gone to for years. I want to support the Pools Foundation. But otherwise, I hadn't been back and hadn't been back to that stadium clearly. And so I didn't have that closure of leaving. And you know, you don't know, you think you know how you're going to be received. And, man, I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't have been more pleased and grateful for not only the support of the fan base and the people in and around, but the people that I got a chance to work with so closely and see, whether it's, you know, Terry in the parking garage or, you know, Rip, the visiting clubhouse guy, or, you know, I could name literally, you know, shoots 100 people that came in and, you know, either sent a note over or came in and gave me a hug or sat down. And, you know, it's really cool. You know, like Ozzie came over and we sat down for 45 minutes and talked. Ted Simmons came in the day after and talked. Jimmy Edmonds and Jason Isringhausen. And, you know, those are names people know, but, you know, people I spent a lot of time with over there. And then the, like I said, you know, between, you know, field crew and, you know, clubhouse guys and, you know, people that worked in the front, you know, greeting people. My girl Aggie, who's just a treasure. You know, I keep going on and on, but man, it was just so nice to have people, you know, extend themselves and, you know, just catch up, and the support and the you know, appreciation was really high. So it meant a lot to me.
That's awesome. We're talking to Mike Shildt here on Ben and Woods this morning, and you talked after the game yesterday about the lunch pail guys, and we were just talking about one with Yachty. You know, guys out there playing nine innings every single day. Jerkson said a couple days ago, man, I'm having a really good year. It means I've been running a ton. I'm tired, you know, and it's hot and all of that. But I wanted to ask you, when you're kind of planning ahead, it's got to be a tough balancing act for you, or maybe it's not, but coming into September, division's still in play, certainly, and you got some really good teams, everyone's scrapping for a seat at the table. When it comes to those lunch pail guys, how do you plan, or do you plan on trying to get those guys a blow from, you know, here and there?
Well, I think we've done it. I think it's a blend. I'll give you a longer answer, give you my opinion. And, you know, really it comes down to communication with the players, but this is the time of year you play. I mean, this is what you play for, right?
True.
I mean, this is what, again, I alluded to Yachty. Not everybody's Yachty. You know, we got guys that, like Manny, he answered the bell, man. Profar answered the bell. Merrill answered the bell. They all answered the bell. But now's the time when the bell goes off.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we play for, boys. You know, so, yeah, there's not naive to also making sure guys are fresh and guys are, you know, ready to compete. But the reality is, you know, you said earlier incorrectly, you know, correctly, you know, both sides are trying to,
yeah,
you know, and so, you know, a lot of that's done. I also alluded to it earlier on the forefront being the conditioning that these guys do in the off season, how they take care of themselves during the season, how we partner with them and take care of them prior to games, you know, for example, in St. Louis, you know. And even before that, we were really mindful in this stretch of games. You know, we had some later reports. We had some really crisp and short work. We had more individual work. Hey, what do you need to get ready for that first pitch? Because that's what's most important right now. We've taken a lot of ground balls. We've taken a lot of BP. Still need to take them. Still need to keep our skills sharp. But we don't need to go out there and just grind on it every day. So we partner with what the players need, and then talk to them about, you know, how they're feeling. If they need a day, they get a day. If they can go, they go. You know, we've been able to pass around, you know, the DH spot, you know, pretty liberally and give guys a blow there. You know, Bogey got a break yesterday. He did come up and, you know, took a good, you know, a good teammate on the day off to taking a bat in the eighth. You know, Manny's going to DH today. Rise is going to get a blow today. Solano's in there. Cronies passed around the DH spot. Bogeys, like I said, had the day. Higgy caught 3 out of 4. Jackson got a day off, in Colorado. So just a combination of all of it. But, at the end of the day, it's the time of the year for competition.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of, we just mentioned Jurickson. I was watching the game on Wednesday at work, and when he came up in the ninth inning, bunted, and a guy next to me said, why did Shilty have him bunt there? And I go, he didn't. He trusts Jurick the right call in a baseball situation, and Jurickson thought the bunt was the good player. He got the guy over. My question to you is, you obviously trust the instincts of veteran players like Manny and Jurickson, who have played the game and know what winning baseball looks like. How long does it take, though, like with a younger player, like a Jackson Merrill, like a rookie, before you kind of trust them to make those calls themselves versus you and the coaching staff kind of making those decisions during the game?
Good question. Long answer, probably. I'm confident in this. Championship players think and do for themselves. Players in real time that are competing, yeah, we give them structure. I don't sit over there and just, hang out and watch the game. I've got my, my duty to it as well, and I don't alibi that duty. But championship players see the game, play the game. And, the analogy I use is, a lot of quarterbacks audible, right? There's the freedom to audible, and the best quarterbacks that know what they're doing, that can see things in real time, that can – make a decision in competition because they've seen it and are trusted to do that. A lot of those guys have ended up with Super Bowl rings. The guys that aren't getting trusted with it or don't have the ability to do it, it doesn't happen as much. So I just believe in any sport that's important, and also it allows players to play free. Everybody likes to be trusted, but it's not blind. And then so it's a combination of things. So it's, with the veteran player, it's, with all the players, actually, it's a preparation prior to the game that takes place that the staff does that distills what's becoming, which is great. More and more information every day, every year to factor in and then distill it down to simple and actionable for our team approach or that individual player based on their skill set and what they're actually, able to do. And then we staff work with the player to talk through like, hey, this is what you're going to see. These are the guys, Bryce Johnson, Tyler Wade. These are the guys you can bunt on. They fall off the mound this way. This guy didn't throw to a base. This guy's going to, we can take advantage of him at first, And so they know every pitcher and the corner guys and the catchers who they can bunt on. And then when the situation calls for it, they do it. And they worked on it. So that's an example of how it works, but to the younger player. It is a learned thing. They take their cue at its best, which we've been able to have. It's happened here, which I'm really, really, really thrilled with. It's happened sooner than I thought, but it's important for a winning club to have, and that's your veteran players that, A, want to play, B, want to prepare, C, have high baseball IQs, and then D, have the willingness and the desire to share it. Those boxes don't get checked at every turn, but they get checked off in our club between Manny, Profar, Toddy, Crony, Arise, Solano, Peralta. So, you know, Tyler Wade's been a great guy to help pour into Jackson as well and our younger players. So they're available to it. And then the second part of that is you have to have the young player that also has some idea of preparation and a baseball IQ. And then, believe it or not, willing to listen. I've been in situations and with a couple clubs that younger players came up, didn't want to listen, didn't want to take advice from veteran players. Veteran players tuned out. Younger players didn't thought they had it figured out. And lo and behold, those teams didn't go very far. So there's no guarantee to this. So that's why I applaud everybody in our clubhouse for having that open-minded willingness to share and grow each other. And then the other part with the young player that it's important that, you know, we're gaining ground on, I feel like, in the organization is, you know, the player development piece for the young player. You know, there is an expectation that a young player comes to us with a baseline of things of understanding how to play the game, how to prepare, how to see the game, how to play the game, how to be able to share and see the game and communicate. So that's really, really important as well, because it has to start with some baseline, which gets to be a more of a challenge, not only in our organization, but just in general in baseball with young players, because they move so fast, because their physical ability is so really special right now with young players, the talent level, guys, between pitching and playing. I mean, the skill set of these young players is really, really impressive. But, you know, they have big league talent, but they have, you know, still have maybe minor league mindset. But they get rushed here so quickly that their understanding and comprehension how to really see and play the game and trust that is behind. So, but that's our job as well to help with that learning curve.
That's pretty cool that you say that, talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, because we just talked to Mason McCoy yesterday. We asked him, you know, other than the post-game spread and, you know, the locker rooms and all that, what's the biggest difference in the big leagues and the minor leagues? He goes, people that actually want to win every day in the big leagues.
It's not about development, it's about winning.
And I think that was a really cool story that you told and that he, you know, basically confirmed yesterday. Really, really solid stuff.
Yeah, the thing about player development that I think also, again, I'm coming from a player development background, it's my heart, that's my bloodlines, is you can do both. You know, the trap for, I feel like, a lot of player development systems is the crutch of, which I get, don't get me wrong, it is about development. You're going to give the guy an extra opportunity against a lefty, but when it becomes about just the sterile, we're going to get so many at bats, and, you know,
yeah,
and you got to throw so many pitches and change ups, and you got to throw a percentage of, you know, cutters or whatever, the, you know, it sends the message of the player. It's about, you know, it's just about development. And oh, by the way, if you win, great. No. You play to win.
That's right.
You teach players how to win. In the development process, that's part of their development. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Gonna let you go, but just quickly, an update on the three that everyone always wants to know about: Tatis, Kim, and Darvish. I understand none of them are with your team right now, which is probably good news.
It's good news. I mean, we always love to have them. Great to have you back. But the good news is they're ramping up their baseball activities and getting closer to coming back. There's no dates. There's some tentative dates that I will not share with you. But there are some, you know, some planning going on. But the good news is And I won't share them only because they can change, right?
Sure,
and,
yeah.
You know,
we understand.
Yeah, you want to lock yourself in. I get it.
You sound happy that you're not sharing them, but we totally understand, Mike. We get it. Yeah. We get it.
Everybody wants to know. I get it. I don't want to, you know, hold back on anybody. But, you know, the reality is, you know, it's really a any time a player's come back from an injury, you know, it's playing that day, get to work in that day, take inventory how it feels, and adjust the plan accordingly. And, you know, you clearly hope that it moves forward in a positive direction, but and our medical staff again is tremendous here. Hughes throwing four innings simulated game today, so that'll be good. He'll get his pitches in, and we'll evaluate that and see what the next step is for him. Toddy's getting a ton of live at bats down there. Saw some video yesterday; it looked very Tatis like. I think he hurt some guys' feelings.
Good.
Yep. And Kimmy's, you know, getting back to taking some swings and extending out his throwing. But he's as you would expect, or maybe not, his swing's ahead of his throwing. You know, he feels more, you know, comfortable with being able to swing, which is obviously great, but he is going to need to be able to throw. And while that's, you know, feeling good, it's still going to take longer to progress.
All right, great talking with you, Skip. We'll see you when you get home next week. Good luck this weekend against Tampa Bay.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
There he is. Good stuff today from the manager, Mike Schill. Our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.